Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening.
Whichever it is for you, here's the Morning Scramble
with Claire and Eric,
a Z102.9 podcast.
Enjoy.
Ever find yourself just sitting in your car, either talking yourself into something or talking yourself out of something?
What are you trying to talk yourself into or out of?
It was yesterday afternoon, getting a car wash.
What, like talking yourself into the car wash?
Well, I need it. So talking into was not hard.
But it's so cold.
Bam. That's it. That's why I talked myself out of it.
Ugh.
I had to go to the grocery store.
Yeah.
And it made sense to me, logically and geographically where I was, to go get my car washed through one of those where like your hands off the wheel and it just takes over.
Yeah.
And then go to the grocery store. And my first thought is my car is going to freeze.
Yeah. And then you won't be able to get anything in the trunk.
Yeah.
And you'll look like a fool.
So I talked myself out of it.
Yep.
And here I am this morning kicking myself just because my car is just covered with all of the road stuff.
The grime.
Yes.
Yes, I know.
Would it have been okay or would it have frozen?
Who am I to say?
And remember, this is coming off the heels of, what was it, Friday morning when my door lock or opener disengaged.
Just Friday.
And I almost drove to work holding my door shut.
Eric's big idea. I'll just hold the door and drive on the back roads to work.
My bonehead moment of 2025 already took place Friday.
Worst idea.
It was a stupid idea.
No, you would have died.
But I also didn't want to risk that door not working. So I avoided the car wash altogether. But there were plenty of people doing it.
Probably a good idea.
But they were probably just going straight from there to home, right?
Did it have a blow dryer? I do like a good blow dryer.
Yeah, it's like...
And a generous one,
It's like
too.
The big assembly line one, right? You go in, you pay a little bit more than you probably should.
Yeah.
And then they spray you.
When they tell you how long you'll dry?
Yes. And then they'll guide you in. And then then it's fun.
Yeah.
To just watch the magic happen.
Yeah, and you're on the conveyor.
Yeah. And then there's super foam.
Mm-hmm.
Three different colors, one smell.
I love a car wash.
Yes.
It is a delight.
And then I intentionally go as slow as I can through that blower.
Yeah.
To get every last drop off.
Everybody does. Everybody does, right?
I would hope. Why not? You paid for it.
You paid for it.
You should get all 60 seconds of blow drying.
That's your blow dryer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Unless it's the summer and then I'm like, I can drip a little bit.
Now, my secret is to then not hit the wipes or the windshield wipers.
That's I don't your want, secret?
Yeah, it's a secret. Because I don't want it to streak. So what?
How's that going for you?
It's great, except you can't see.
Uh-huh. That's the only problem, huh?
But you gotta look through the, you know, the tendrils of water. See which way you're going.
It's a terrible idea. What?
Just to leave, as you're leaving the parking lot.
Uh-huh.
I'm using the natural wind.
The natural wind? Go on. No. Explain to me in detail. What are you doing?
Okay, as you're leaving the car wash, there are fans.
Mm-hmm.
Some don't have them.
Yes, but the car has a natural thing on it that helps you see.
It does.
Yes.
But it streaks.
Yes.
And I don't want it to streak. I just washed my car.
Right.
And it's going to make that pattern.
Yeah.
So I don't want to do that.
Uh-huh.
So I just let it naturally come from the top down to the bottom of the windshield. And as I'm exiting, if you start to accelerate, the natural wind that you're driving into will dry your windshield. Yes, that's how I do it.
Oh,
at least not on a road. Not just in the parking lot.
What? I use the wipers.
Don't use the wipers. That's my trick.
No. I use the wipers for safety.
I think you're wiping too fast.
For myself and for others so that I can see as
will
the driver of the vehicle.
Will you try it my way once?
Nope. No, it will not.
You won't?
No.
Dang it.
No, I feel it is unsafe.
I'm still here.
You're so vain. You probably think that car is about you.
That car's all about me. I want a streak-free windshield. That's all I want. Streak-free.
You want it too bad. Wow.
I'm going for every time I go for it.
At this point, though, like in winter car washes, I'm like, this is just a maintenance thing. This is just a knockoff some of the grime.
That's
this
more of a summer strategy.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
In the wintertime, you have to have them on all the time.
It's just to get a little bit of the grime off.
Right.
Yeah. Nah, maintenance. I'm using the wipers. I'm still going to use the wipers.
Not going to use my little tip?
No. Thanks for the tip, though.
That's You're welcome.
One way to approach it.
It is Eric's way, yes.
Eric's way. And then over the holidays, one of those gifts that gets to be a little controversial, I want to talk about etiquette when it comes to the Christmas lottery ticket.
Okay, so you've come to my house.
Yep.
And you're a guest in my house, and I provide you with a lottery ticket. Is this a scenario?
Yeah.
And what, you win.
And you won, say, $5,000.
So you're scratching off. You just had a lovely standing rib roast.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my God, that was great. And I just won
$5,000. I won $5,000. What happens next?
You take your $5,000 and you leave my house.
That's it?
Yes.
You would let them leave with $5,000?
It's a gift.
It was a gift.
Oh. There's no finder's fee.
No.
Do people believe that?
Well, what would you do as the scratcher? Would you be like super private about it? Would you divulge
that?
Oh,
interesting.
Yeah. How would you?
Didn't think of that.
Would you even tell the other person that you won?
It'll get back to them eventually.
I'll find out.
You're either family or a neighbor. I know you that well. You're at my house on Christmas Day.
Something's up.
I'm going to find out.
Right? So you're going to know.
I'm
going
to find out before next Christmas. Right?
I'm going to know. Or you could use it. Some people said use it as a test. Just test. Like if you're really like cool with that.
Like the relationship and how.
Test the relationship.
Glued we are.
See if they're happy for you. Throw it out there. I think it was a winner.
If you are a person who gives another person a lottery ticket in hopes of sharing in the winnings, that's horrible. Right?
I know. I'm like, why did we even do the lottery ticket thing if we're like.
It's just, that's it. I put it on the table and congratulations. Good luck. Is this just a Midwestern thing?
Hopefully.
Where else in the U.S. is it not this?
That we.
It's like, boy, if you win in my house, you're going to give me some of that money.
What if it was $1 million?
It's still your money, but what you're going to get to a number where maybe your generosity on the spirit of giving, because it is Christmas morning.
Maybe I have $1,000.
Maybe you're like, hey, you know what? Here for all the trouble you went through today, here's a little something.
A little something?
Right?
I gave you prime rib.
And
$1 million.
I'm not asking for anything.
It was a really good Christmas.
But I'm going to be, as you leave, it's kind of like the guy who waits for the tip.
Yeah. Tip your server.
At that point, tip your host.
Yeah.
Tip the person who bought you the ticket.
Yes. I'm not saying.
I think that's fair.
A lot. I'm not saying halvesies or anything.
Doesn't even be 10,000.
But a really nice gift. Maybe plus up that gift.
Next Christmas better be a great gift.
Yes.
Because now I know you're a millionaire.
Exactly.
If you go cheap the Christmas after winning $1 million in my house, that's a problem.
Then we got problems.
That's a big problem.
Lay it all out there.
Brace yourself.
What's on your mind?
It's mind-blowing, isn't it?
Time for some brain show and tell.
What's on your mind?
Yes, what's on your mind?
Oh, gosh. Well, I just came to the end of a really nice holiday break and exposed the kiddos to some fun little games. We played a lot of family games. And then we had a family movie night.
Mm-hmm.
And was like, what are we going to watch? And we came up with, we should have them watch another classic. And they don't trust all of our judgment, but we have discovered that they will trust us if we're like, you got to watch this old movie because it's an Adam Sandler movie.
Wait, Adam Sandler makes them want to watch it?
Yes.
Ouch.
They trust Adam Sandler. If Adam Sandler's in it, they're like, oh, we watched Billy Madison and that was very funny. We trust you guys on this.
Wow.
I know.
Okay.
I know. But they loved Billy Madison so much. So they're like, okay, what else you got? And we're like thinking, oh, you guys have to watch The Wedding Singer. If you haven't seen The Wedding Singer, it's got music, it's got love, it's a throwbacky, you know, kind of like that 80s.
Yes.
And they loved it.
Hey, good job.
I know. I was so psyched. They're like, oh, yeah, that's probably like a 8 out of 10.
They even have a rating system?
Yeah, they apparently do.
They have an Adam Sandler rating system.
It came out, I didn't know it was a thing, but yeah, it was 8 out of 10. Solid. So congratulations, Adam Sandler, on your 8 out of 10.
What's next in the Adam Sandler canon?
Well, then I thought that's kind of the first Drew Barrymore. So I think we got to go to then
50 First Dates. They should like that a lot.
They should.
Yes.
Then is I think they're because I thought of that because there's a new one that popped up called like Blended or something on Netflix. That
isn't that he? Well, as of what, the last 10 years, all of his movies have just gone straight to Netflix.
Right.
And I don't, I've not seen those as well as many times.
I haven't either. I haven't either.
What about like the one where he adopts the little kid?
Big Daddy?
Big Daddy.
We did watch that one and it made Cora cry.
Okay.
Because she wanted the kid to end up with Adam Sandler.
What about the one where he's the son of the devil? Little Nicky. Is that worth it? That one's not very good.
That one's not very good.
No, it's not at all. What about Happy Gilmore?
We watched Happy Gilmore and the... They didn't like it.
Okay.
As much as they like Billy Madison.
Understood.
Which I think I feel the same way. I like Billy Madison better than I like Happy Gilmore.
Do you think they'll want to see the new Happy Gilmore coming up whenever it does this spring?
I don't know. See, they were so let down. They really, really liked Billy Madison. I think they'd be more keen to see a Billy Madison too.
Okay.
Which there doesn't need to be, right?
No.
No.
You're kind of running out of the decent Adam Sandler movies.
I realize this,
and I can't believe I said the sentence... Decent Adam Sandler movies.
You're telling me. You're telling me. But we did find one on Disney that was called Bedtime Stories that I had never seen before. That was actually really cute.
Click is cute.
Yes.
Where he gets the remote control.
Yeah. That always makes me tear-jerker. Yeah.
So there's a couple more.
There's some.
Decent Adam Sandler movies.
Decent.
All right. I wish you well.
Thank you. On our Adam Sandler movie journey.
On your Adam Sandler journey. Nothing else from like the 80s or 90s? Like,
hey, throw them at me. Like, I don't know.
There's plenty.
They trust Adam Sandler. He's got their seal of
crazy.
Approval.
Okay. Earlier, I didn't want you to look at my hands because I have something to show you that I found at my house. And why you look scared?
Because.
You look so scared.
What is in your hands?
It was a good day yesterday. We got a lot of just like busy work done in the house. Mm-hmm. Cleaned up. Shannon put some clothes away. We took a ton of stuff to Goodwill. I just had piles and piles of like an old bill that needed to be filed and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then there's this other stack of like gift cards and punch cards that we need to go through. So right now I'm on a journey to just cash in all my gift cards right now. So I'm just going to have the same lunch at the same store every day until I cash out one gift card. But in this pile, Claire, and now maybe you know what I'm talking
about. I think I know exactly what you have. Guess, I know exactly what you found.
Guess what I found?
No. This is
that's our punch card.
It doesn't do us any good now.
It does.
No, it doesn't.
We bought it in February. We have 2 more months left.
What?
We have January and February to fill it out.
Oh my God.
We have 2 more free dozen donuts.
We lost it. We lost September.
We lost September, October, and December.
We lost four. It.
Why are you looking? Hey,
you
hey, glass
it for
half
four
empty.
Months.
This
you
is glass
it.
Half full.
You lost it for 4 months.
But I found it for two.
You lost
I found it for two. Miami DOT is asking for public input regarding a stretch of Highway 151 between Amana and Fairfax. Biggest concern is that stretch of 2-lane, little to no passing lanes, turn lanes. I don't think exist on that. So it's a very dangerous stretch of road. Yeah. Iowa DOT is considering reconstructing it as a Super 2 highway.
Super 2 is what they
Yeah, it's
call
a Super
it.
2. So there's like more turn lanes and more passing lanes added every few miles.
They should call it a double deuce.
It's a Super 2 double deuce. Survey is now open online. Will remain open through mid-January. Just Google Iowa DOT Highway 151 survey. You can take the survey.
Super survey.
I'm calling it. You think it's a super survey?
It should be a super survey.
For the Super 2 highway?
Yeah, if it's a super Super 2 highway.
This is super silly. This is super stupid. Chuck Grassley is back to third in line for the presidency. U.S. Senator Chuck Grassley, once again, Senate President pro tempore when Congress convened on Friday. Grassley served in the Senate since 1981. So the position always goes to the longest serving senator in the party that controls the chamber. He was in the same role from 2019 through 2021. He will also serve as the chair of the Senate Judiciary Committee as they have officially convened in D.C. All right, a guy from Newton wins the lottery. Won $150,000 on a scratcher. Has to drive to Clive to pick up his winnings. This is last Thursday. The Des Moines area, if you don't remember, was under a snowstorm at the time. He didn't care. His name, by the way, is Daniel Bragg. He didn't care because he drives a 2001 Chevy Suburban GMT 800 with 849,000 miles on this thing. He has described it as a tank. It could go anywhere. It can haul anything. So now, as he was picking up his check, they're like, are you going to get a new car? And he paused because he's been through this thing through thick and thin.
Like, this is like my car.
That's his, that when you're at that amount of mileage, 849, first of all, I can't comprehend owning a car that long with that many miles.
No.
And once you have that money, if you love that car so much, do you just put it into the car?
But what happens to the odometer?
When it gets to a million, is that the big question?
Yeah.
It goes back to zero, doesn't it? Well, or does it just stop?
He's going to find out.
Does it stop at? I think you hold on to that thing for another 149,000 miles.
Yes, absolutely.
And then go buy a new car.
And then find out what happens.
Yes.
Report back.
Let us know how it goes.
And then get a new
vehicle. Dan Bragg.
Yes.
Congratulations on the lottery.
Brag about it. And then get a new vehicle.
Brag away.
And now, a pop culture update we'd like to call Z's Sleaze. With Claire.
Sad news. Aubrey Plaza's husband, Jeff Baena, took his own life on Friday at 47 years old. He was discovered by an assistant at their home in Los Angeles, 10:30 in the morning. He is a director and had directed Aubrey Plaza in several movies, including Life After Beth, The Little Hours, Spin Me Around. His big break was co-writing the 2004 movie I Heart Huckabees. And they had been married since the pandemic, 2020. They got married using a website called onehourmarriage.com, but they'd been together for 10 years prior to that. So,
that's just horrible.
Horrible, horrible news. So really, really sad story out of Hollywood. But the big story was last night was the Golden Globes, hosted by Nikki Glaser, who was an awesome, awesome host.
We made it through the monologue,
mm-hmm.
and then we tried to watch the first two or three categories. And Claire, I was trying to describe this to you this morning. The actors were looking directly into the camera, but they were not facing the entire audience. They had them on an angle.
Kind of like a 45-degree angle?
It just looked weird, felt weird. The chemistry between the presenters, either the prompter was slow, I don't know. We suffered through about three of those, and we gave up watching.
So the presenters weren't great, but she was
funny.
She was a very funny host. She had one really great joke about comebacks, and usually she's pretty vicious, and she didn't go overly political. She only did one kind of political joke aimed at the room. She said, "You're all so famous, so talented, so powerful. I mean, you really could do anything except tell the country who to vote for. But that's okay. You'll get them next time, if there is a next time."
I mean, it was totally her style. I think she just dialed it back because she was, you know, on network television.
Exactly.
But it worked.
Yeah. Yeah. She did a great job. As for the actual awards, The Brutalist won Best Movie Drama. Emilia Perez won Best Musical or Comedy. In the TV categories, Shogun won Best Drama, Best Actor, Actress, and Supporting Actor. Hacks won Best Musical or Comedy Series. And Jean Smart, the actress from Hacks, won Best Actress in that category. So huge night for those shows and movies. And then the big kind of moment of the night went to Demi Moore. It was really her night. First award for acting in general, like ever, and had a very emotional speech that was kind of the highlight of the night. She got Best Actress in a Musical or Comedy for The Substance and noted that she's been in the business for 45 years, but this is kind of the first time to ever win. She said she was at a low point. She was considering retirement, and then The Substance, the script for that show, hit her desk, and it was like the universe told her that you're not done yet.
They've been running old TV right now for like the talk shows, so I happened to catch when she was on Drew Barrymore's show, which was probably this past fall when this movie came out. It's trippy, but the concept is basically, would you take a substance? Because she plays a kind of an aging out talk show host who I think gets fired from her own show. And then would you actually take a substance that makes you more beautiful, smarter, if it could prolong your career? That's the whole premise for that movie.
Very trippy, kind of asking those.
It's trippy, but at the same time, it's
questions.
A mirror for Hollywood,
it
right?
It really is. Yeah. Yeah. Now it's like that time you got to play catch up. Like, I've heard about that.
Like, I didn't know about The Brutalist. Now I've seen a bunch about it and I'm interested in. It's about an architect
yeah.
who comes over from Hungary. That looks interesting to me. Uh-huh. I have to see this Emilia Perez movie.
I know.
At some point.
I'm like, I know that's just on Netflix. I'm like, why doesn't that ever pop up on my
feed? A lot of
it's
streaming, yeah.
Yeah. Gotta go find the movies now. Okay. It's now officially 2025. Taylor Swift has wrapped up the Eras Tour. What's gonna happen next? The internet's buzzing, thinking perhaps the next big thing is a collaboration with Dolly Parton. Why? Well, Dolly followed Taylor at the end of the year on Instagram. That maybe is a sign that they're perhaps thinking about working together. Taylor has two more Taylor's Version albums left to re-record, so maybe Dolly could find her way onto one of those. There's Taylor's self-titled debut album, which is, you know, part of her country music
right.
world. Or maybe Dolly could appear on one of Taylor's In the Vault tracks, something that we've never even experienced before.
As much as Post Malone had success, Beyonce a little bit, is it time for Taylor, and this is going to sound weird, to go country? See what I'm saying?
True.
She's been so pop.
And now music is kind of having that country moment.
Yes.
And she could easily dip a toe in
the Jelly Rolls of the world, right?
Is she feeling inspired to go back into that space musically? I don't know. Both Taylor and Dolly have, you know, sang each other's praises in the past, so it wouldn't be surprising if there was a collaboration, but nothing official at this point. It's just all speculation. We'll see what happens in 2025. We're just waiting. That's what we like to call
Z's Sleaze.
We do it every Monday, and this will be the first one shot of 2025 where we come. You're doing it already at work.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody's kind of filing in. You're probably seeing some people today you haven't seen for a week or two.
Yeah, you might not have seen people for a couple of weeks. Oh, my gosh.
Grab the phone. You're like, I had such the greatest time at the Hawkeye women's basketball game.
How have you been? What have you been doing?
Or we saw lights at the lake before they took it down. Whatever it is, those are the photos we always ask for you to share for One Shot Weekends and to always show you that the water's not too cold. We always go first. We always dive in first.
We can do this. We got this. Dancing Eric Hansen, I am so proud of the way that you just dove right into this weekend.
This was a bit of a journey. So they had a big exhibit on Jim Henson at the Peoria River Center. And this thing's been there since September. And I went on the last weekend. And the last weekend is when everybody and their entire family all decides to go at the same time.
Oh.
So we leave about 7:30. We stop for breakfast in the Quad Cities. Get there just before 11 o'clock. And I can already see there's a line out the door. Out the door. Parking's a bit of a challenge. So we find a place to park on the street. We go in. She's like, I'm sorry, we're at capacity right now. Go to the other lobby because they've got like an IMAX and wait there. Someone will get you. So we waited there for about 15 minutes. Nobody came to get us. So I walked up. I'm like, can we come in? Because I watched the line was starting to move. She's like, do you have tickets? I'm like, yes. Okay, go over here. So we had to get wristbands. And from that moment on, mind you, we drove 2 hours to do this.
Yeah.
We stood in line for 2 hours and 15 minutes. Luckily, through the galleries of the museum. So there are things to look at.
Yeah.
Met a lovely couple from St. Louis. He's a tattoo artist. Yeah. I think Shannon has booked an appointment.
What?
Yeah.
In St. Louis?
Well, in St. Louis.
Yeah.
And then we finally get in. And I have to tell you, if you've seen the Jim Henson documentary on Disney, is great because it follows that exact storyline. The first thing you see is Kermit.
Aww.
You round the corner and there's a picture of Henson with the headset holding Kermit and then Kermit just kind of sitting under a spotlight. And there are four or five people who work for the museum. First of all, they're there to thank you for your patience and appreciate your support. And then they are there to take as many pictures as you want just with Kermit. And then you round the corner and you get into the early, like 1950s. Jim Henson started just doing a kid show. It's like Dr. Max in Cedar Rapids, right?
Yeah.
And then started doing commercial work. And then created a character for late night 60s, 70s talk show. Rolf the Dog was his first nationwide people knew who the character was.
I love Rolf.
Then you work around the corner. You realize, and this is also in the documentary, he, Jim Henson, could have gone into the business of nightclubs. That was his next idea, experimental film on the walls of a nightclub. I'm not joking.
Oh, wow.
Sesame Street calls about the same week, and he takes that gig instead.
Whoa.
And the rest is history.
Whoa.
From Sesame Street, you get to see the actual, these are puppets from television, encased. As close as I could get was I'm standing behind them, but there's a big plexiglass window between me, Bert, and Ernie. Oh. But they've got Grover, the Count. We were hoping to Oscar. They didn't have Big Bert.
Oh, I want to see that one, how that works.
And then you go from the Muppets, or from the Children's Television Workshop in Sesame Street. Then they have a whole Muppets section. Then they get into Jim Henson's movies like The Dark Crystal and Labyrinth.
Yeah.
It was great.
Oh, that's cool.
It was six plus hours of my life, either in line or driving, for about an hour of walking through this exhibit. But I thank goodness for Clarinet Sharon from the Z102.9 Marching Band.
That's so cool.
I didn't know this thing existed. And I got there, and Shannon and I got to experience it. We absolutely loved it.
That's awesome.
Loved it. It was day trip to Peoria.
Very, very yes. cool.
So that's my photo right now on the Z Facebook page.
Do you know where this thing's off to next? Like,
everybody kept asking, and there were rumors. Somebody heard, like, somewhere in maybe New Mexico, like Albuquerque.
Interesting. They just pick it up, and it goes
yes,
from museum
it's
to
it's
museum.
A very easy-to-do display. I was trying to find on their website. The Henson website's not great about but, and there's versions of this around everywhere. Hmm. There's a permanent one in New York. But I think it's going to the Southwest next.
That's cool.
It was so cool.
Very cool.
Yes.
Okay, so, like, the whole new year, new you.
Yeah.
I'm coming up with solutions. We're going to, like, solve problems and fix up the house. And I had this idea, a vision of storage. And so I found a shoe storage armoire.
Okay, so I'm looking at this right now. First of all, please tell me your husband didn't put this whole thing together by himself.
He did. Well, not by himself.
All hands on deck.
I helped. Good. I helped. We did
with
it together.
With that screwdriver?
Yeah.
He didn't use a power tool?
No.
How long did it say
do not use power tools. Eric.
You can.
It said not to.
It goes a lot faster.
It was that screwdriver, and then like it had like one of those little...
Allen wrench. Oh, the Allen wrench.
Yes. Allen wrench things. And we did it. I mean, it took several hours, but we put it all together.
It looks great.
I have a place to hang my purse now, too, on the side. It has, like, its own hook. You know, there's a place to set the keys, and all the shoes go right there, and it's just, like, it's great.
For those listening on the last couple of days, which of these four bins will hold his saxophone?
None. And we're not going to bring up the saxophone, because I think he might have forgotten the
saxophone.
Okay,
good. Good. Now, you know, the trick to this is you have to use it every day now for, like, 3 weeks.
Yes.
Get in the habit of using it.
Yeah. I don't know about that for him. He's into it, but like, will he actually put the shoes in it? Is
because his
question.
Shoes go there, your shoes, girls' shoes, all go in.
No.
Is this more fashion than function?
Yeah, I'm finding it's great for ladies' shoes. It's not great for men's shoes.
Fair enough.
So I don't know if it's going to be great for his, but it's great for mine. It's a beautiful piece.
It looks great. And we've all done that before where it's all hands on deck. Got to read the instructions. Got to match your letters to the types because there's different shapes and sizes of all those bolts.
And so many numbers and pieces and all of the pieces were there and everything went together.
That also feels good, right?
We put it together with minimal swearing and bickering.
All right. Those are our photos. Now, I noticed a couple trends. If you look at Becky, her granddaughter was at a volleyball tournament. If you look at Sarah, her nephew was at a wrestling tournament. Trombone Mikey played in the alumni band because the students are off right now and they still need a pep band for basketball. So a lot of people were at the Hawkeye women's game. So sports does seem to be a bit of a theme for this past weekend.
Sports and home improvement like mine. Kate was putting in new flooring. Vanessa, they repainted and reorganized the closet. Looks so great. Love it. Love it.
Mindy moved.
Whoa. That's a complete remodel.
That's a big remodel. Got a whole different house.
Steph just went to the Children's Museum. Get out and move a little bit. Love to see that.
I just gave a shout out to Clarinet Sharon. Took her daughter to the airport doing a semester abroad in Ecuador.
That is so cool.
How awesome is that?
I saw that she said she literally was embraced by her host family. They were just like, got off the plane and like,
Krista posts a lot with dogs at AKC Championships. So congratulations to Shady. her puppy.
Aww.
Looks beautiful. And lastly, a lot of people doing wellness journeys. And Luz also posting, it looks like we're going to do a lot of citrus for the month of January.
Ooh, citrus.
Yeah. Little pineapple orange concoction. I don't know what's in there.
I don't know what it is. Well, happy journey.
At least I identified the fruits by name. That's good for me, isn't it?
Yes, yes. That's good enough for you.
Thanks, everybody, for getting those photos up for One Shot Weekend.
It's the Morning Scramble with Claire and Eric.
Yes.
B102.9.
It's how we celebrated the holidays. With a family recipe exchange. Everybody got somebody else's recipe and one ingredient. We made our dishes, brought them back last Thursday. Ben wasn't here, unfortunately.
Poor Ben was sick.
But Ben's back today. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning.
Producer Ben, happy
Healthy
new year.
Healthy in the new year. Yay.
Glad to be back.
In front of you right now are the last few squares of Aunt Peg's fudge as prepared by Claire.
Peanut butter fudge, which we know how producer Ben feels about his peanut butter.
Loves his peanut butter.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if he loves his fudge.
Week old fudge.
Fudge is fine. There was 4 cups of sugar in this fudge. It is well preserved.
Now, where I had a major malfunction making ham balls because I used ham salad and not ham loaf, Claire, you had a little bit of a hiccup in using the candy thermometer.
Yeah, my candy thermometer, like there was an air bubble or something in the mercury of the thermometer. So there was 2 lines and I was like, which one do I read? Which one is the truth? Because Aunt Peg's recipe said you had to get it to the firm, soft, firm stage or something.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't know what that meant exactly. And it was like there was very few degrees that you could mess with. So I had to get it to 240 degrees Fahrenheit, Ben. 240 degrees exactly.
Exactly why I entrusted you to do it and not Eric.
Yeah.
No pressure.
I don't understand how temperature works either. Ham loaf, ham salad, temperature.
Potato, tomato.
Okay. We need to find out if these, if this peanut butter fudge is correct or not good. So far, producer Ben, looking at the texture, looking at the color, does this look correct?
Similar-ish?
It looks correct.
Okay.
She would always leave it in a little bit bigger of a piece.
Bigger.
But I like the smaller piece.
Okay, bigger pieces.
All right.
Okay.
We're just going to watch
That's
you watch you eat.
All right.
Okay, I want to see the look on his face.
He's chewing.
It does it taste similar?
He's trying to swallow. His eyebrows are up, which means he's searching.
He's thinking
it tastes pretty similar.
Pretty
tastes
similar?
Pretty similar?
It's been a long time since I've had it.
Okay.
So it's
How
hard.
Long?
It's, well.
Like a decade?
I don't
or
know.
More?
She hasn't been around for 16 years. And I don't know when she last made it, like before that.
Oh my
mom's made it a couple times.
But not a lot.
I don't know that I would make it all the time because it's kind of hard.
Does this take you back to a specific holiday memory, though, eating it? Like being in her house or remembering a fond Christmas?
She'd always send us like a tray of peanut butter fudge every holiday.
Aw. You know what? That was a fantastic recipe. Like, it's just peanut butter and marshmallow cream. And like, I've seen recipes before where like you had to add like vanilla and stuff to it. Like, this was all just so good on its own.
Well,
to the best of my knowledge, it does taste correct.
Yeah! Woo! This one's for you, Aunt Peg! Woo!
Claire, I think you won our holiday recipe exchange.
I win?
You win.
What do I win?
You can make more fudge for us.
Oh! I feel so good. I won.
You won.
I won.
Is there any more fudge left, by the way?
Yes.
Yes, I won too.
Thank you for listening to the Morning Scramble podcast.
Catch Claire and Eric live weekday mornings, 6 until 10 Central Time on Z102.9. Listen on your radio, on your smart speaker, or stream at KZIA.com.
Okay, have a good day.